The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
We were talking about your numbers that you were in basketball. Weren't you number two at one point?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's not really that many famous number twos in Arkansas sports or football history. We may just have to go with Nick Mason Day since he's number two.
We have twos. London Crawford. I told you yesterday. Was it? Yeah, he was number two. There are a lot of good number twos.
Who's more famous, London Crawford or Nick Mason?
Ooh. Man, that's bad for him if we're questioning that.
Talk about a guy that made a miracle, like a memorable play, and then you have Nick Mason. But that may be the poll question of the day. Who's more famous?
My face is more famous than his is for sure.
Like, well, you're a basketball player.
For sure, he could be anywhere, and you'll walk right past him and not even know that was London Crawford. Mm-hmm. And he could even tell you, "I'm London Crawford." He can be like, "Oh man, I didn't.
Where do I know your name from?"
Yeah. I don't remember you looking like that. So,
any other number twos besides London Crawford, though?
I'm sure there's
Julian Horton. He's got to scoop and score. Yeah.
Julian, all the wide receiver greats.
Wow,
all the wide receiver. Greats.
Yeah. Wasn't Anthony Eubanks number two? He's another one that pops in my mind.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's Anthony. He's a
discussion over.
There you go. Anthony Eubanks. I'm sure there's somebody that we're missing that someone's going to tweet us. But my point was is that I was going to make it Nick Mason Day since his number was number two at one point in time, even though he's like eight different numbers. But
it's football season, so let's keep it to the football guys.
Yeah, well, let's do that. We'll do you for basketball. How about
that?
Would you be the most number? I don't know. Jamel Farmer was pretty good.
Was he?
I don't know. He scored 25 points in a game once.
Yeah, no. He did that a couple times.
Did you do that?
No. No.
Did you ever play 25 minutes in a game?
No.
Yeah. Well, wait. We'll save that one for basketball season. There we got to find the call of when Nick made that pass heard around the world. I don't know if they have that anywhere.
Ooh, good luck on that one.
Yeah, well, we may have to contact the U of A.
But good luck with that one, Ty.
Yeah.
Do they keep exhibition games in the archives? Yeah. Put that on the poll.
I'm trying to think. I think Mike Nail was even. I think he was calling.
Is that your freshman year
times.
Or sophomore year?
Sophomore year. Yeah, I think he may have been.
Yeah, it's around the time that he may have been transitioning out, but he might have been the guy. So
yeah,
there you go. So we'll have to look that up. But we are just a mere 2 days away from football season, and today's going to be, of course, a recruiting Thursday. We're going to be catching up with Richard Davenport around 8 o'clock this morning, talk a little recruiting. Of course, Tom Murphy as well at 7:30, and we'll be looking forward to catching up with him as well. And is the excitement building for you guys? Or each day goes by, you're just more and more pumped, or is it just we've been kind of in the same stance for weeks, months now, and just kind of waiting to get it actually going instead of sitting here speculating about what may or may not happen?
I don't think we're the ones to ask if we're getting more pump, because we live in this bubble where we talk about this every day and we follow every nth detail every day.
But you're not excited about the season?
Well, I'm excited about the season. Am I excited about this game on Saturday? In some ways, yes. In some ways, I mean,
well, that may be the better way to word it. Are you just excited to get the season going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Because I don't think anybody's just, getting their engines revved for Eastern Illinois.
Yeah.
But I think that there are people that are just really excited just to get the season going. I think that may be the better terminology to have it. So, but I know that the University of Arkansas is really excited to get their season going, too. And one of the things we're going to talk about, and we'll discuss it throughout the show, the white uniforms for a home game. I mean, traditionalists are really upset by this.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything about the Razorback uniform that's tradition?
Anything other than the handful of schools that never touch, the Oklahomas and the Alabamas?
Michigan, those, Ohio State.
That rarely change any even obscure detail about their uniform. Is there anything traditional about anyone's uniforms now that Nike has gotten into and Under Armour and, the other brands have gotten into the revolving combinations that a lot of schools that Oregon got all this started, right? So that's kind of become the way it is unless you're one of those handful of schools. and I, you know, I guess people are upset. I was looking through Facebook and Twitter. I didn't see a lot of just, you know, gnashing of teeth and people wailing over this. I mean, I think
there's
it's interesting.
There's a lot of people that like it, yeah.
You know, it's fine. To me, it's fine.
Yeah.
Are they going to have a hog on the side of their helmet?
That's right.
You know, is it still going to say Arkansas across the chest? Is it purple? No. Okay, let's go. Let's play.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
It's red and white, let's play.
Here's the thing. If they win games in it, who cares? Who cares?
I just think, you know, telling you this earlier, before the show, it's going to be hot, right? One of the hotter games of the year.
Yeah.
3 o'clock, middle of the day on a Saturday. Who are you wearing a black shirt and black pants to the game? Or dark colors?
Not I.
Why?
Because it's too hot.
Be hot.
Yeah.
So if you could wear all white at middle of the afternoon on a... What's really August 32nd?
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest. It's August 32nd. Seems to me just to be smart. Let's wear the lightest colored uniforms we have for the temperature part of it.
Yeah,
but didn't I mean this is apparently what the players wanted to do?
That's who it's about.
Yeah,
it's about what the players want to do. And one of the things I always brought up is like if you look at Arkansas's history, Arkansas couldn't even get their colors right. Because there were years that it looked like they were wearing maroon, like really dark red. And there are other years it looked like they were wearing Georgia red. I mean, so these people that think that there's some type of tradition of Arkansas uniforms besides just the hog being on the side of the helmet, and there's never been that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think the uniforms are fine. I think that, you know, whatever gets people excited, whatever gets the players excited, whatever they look good and feel good playing in, then I'm all for it.
The question is, what will they look like a year from now? Because... Chad Morris said a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, the uniforms they're wearing now are the ones put into the works because these things take like a year with Nike to get done. You don't just call Nike up and say, you don't call Nike up in June or July and say, hey, we want new uniforms, new look because we got a new coach for our first game. Or even in January, February. These are like a year out process to get these designed, produced to the school. So what you're looking at now is done by the previous coaching staff anyway. So my question will be, all right, once Chad Morris and his staff get a chance to put a spin on it, or that's the way it was, did you hear, you remember him talking about mm-hmm. that? It's the way I understood
yeah.
it. So what are they going to look like? Because I think at some point in the next season or two, they'll look different again mm-hmm. because Chad Morris and his staff will have a chance to put their thumbprints on the designs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know this for a fact that Nike actually approached Arkansas and Brett Bielema very, very early in his tenure, and they essentially wanted to see if Arkansas would be interested in becoming the, quote, Oregon of the South, where they just have combinations out the wazoo of uniforms. Basically every single game is going to be having something different. They were approached mm-hmm. by it. They wanted to do Arkansas with it. Brett Bielema said no. They didn't want to do that, and I mean, I don't know how it would go down or anything like that. So, you know, Arkansas, they had some concepts for them, too. They had showed them the type of uniforms that they'd be showing. So maybe if they approach it again, maybe with Chad Morris, they'll look to be doing something like that. But I just think it's something that if the players like it and the players feel good, look good in it, then I'm all for it as well. So, you know, I think they look clean. I've seen a lot worse uniforms. Yeah. I mean... what was it in 2020?
That will not be our biggest issue on Saturday.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, what was it in 2012? He had the gradient numbers that you couldn't see.
Those are terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So you're like, now you
terrible.
Can do it bad. You can have bad uniforms.
Well, that was so bad they changed the rule. I mean, like the rule book changed because of the gradient numbers. That is illegal now.
Whose idea was that?
Nike's?
John L's.
Just chalk it up to him. He's at fault.
And if you're a broadcaster,
yes,
worse. That's as bad as it could get.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget that one. You couldn't see what numbers
even
people
on
were.
TV.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you were watching on TV that year, you couldn't tell who was who by the number. Mm. So if you were Chuck Barrett up, you know,
didn't
halfway up the stadium, no chance.
Yeah. Are terrible uniforms. So, like I said, there's a way to mess up uniforms yeah. for sure. So,
again, that was so bad they changed the rule book.
Yeah, I'm glad they did change the rule, at least for Arkansas' sake.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
You're in business and you do get sick for 3 days and you don't work, that means the first 3 days that you come back, you're doing like 12 days of work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's never that great to,
yeah,
and really not even go on vacation anymore.
Because no one does your work for you while you're gone.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately not. Where there's some storylines that we want to get into in the SEC, because guess what, guys? There's a SEC team playing football tonight.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Texas A&M against a nobody team.
We've been saying 2 days, and we're counting down to Arkansas football. Yeah. But, yeah, college football is here.
Yeah. So tonight, if you want to watch a college football game involving an SEC team with Texas A&M, you could do that. There's also some other teams, too, that will be playing. Oklahoma State's one of those games as well. But we got some news that we got to get into, so without further ado, let's go around the SEC.
You love the game. We love the game. That's why we bring you the latest from across the conference, your favorite teams, the big matchups, the breaking news. Get your college game on.
Time to go around the SEC.
All right, around the SEC, presented by Sassy's Red House in Fayetteville. They've got two different locations. Be sure to check them out all football season long. Doesn't matter if it's before the game, during the game, after the game, or even during the game week. Be sure to stop by Sassy's for some of their great menu items. Barbecue nachos are my favorite. Nick's going to be there for the catfish. That is for sure. And Tommy, he's just going to be there for the beer.
For the what?
Beer.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. So they got it all, though, at Sassy's Red House. Two different locations, off of College and off of Weddington. So stop by this football
season. You got to have a good appetizer menu if it's going to be a place to watch games.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's just great.
That's what makes us the trifecta. I got the nachos. Tommy's got the Nick's got the catfish.
Bring me those barbecue quesadillas.
That's right. You got the whole setup there. So, okay, a few storylines we want to get into dealing with the SEC. I thought this was funny. ESPN, Stats and Info, which they do a great job of coming up with some random stuff. But they released their information on its annual Fan Happiness Index. So looking at the football schools from 1 to 128 or whatever it is, they ranked the happiness level of all football schools and specifically the SEC. So as an Arkansas fan or someone who covers the Arkansas Razorbacks, where would you think that they would rank in the SEC among happiness? Right now,
probably bottom six.
Bottom six.
Yeah.
Ty says six.
11th.
Tommy's the closest. They are 10th in the SEC. Okay. 88th overall in fan happiness. The only programs that they are happier than, I was kind of surprised by this, Ole Miss at number 11, Tennessee at number 12, Kentucky at 13, and Vanderbilt at 14. I was a little surprised to see Tennessee there because they have a new coach. They feel good about him. I know the program's been down.
So Vanderbilt's at the bottom. So you're telling me, based on that, that those are the
unhappiest,
the least happy? Because obviously Alabama fans are
they're not number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, them spoiled
Texas
brats.
Texas A&M?
No. Georgia's number one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I can buy that. But
Georgia, Alabama, then Auburn?
Alabama should be number one. If you're not happy as an Alabama fan, shame on you.
This is where it gets weird. So Georgia's number one, and they're number one overall in the entire college. Which, I mean, hey, they got a lot to feel good about. Future looks bright for them.
But Alabama's got a lot more to feel better about.
I know, but they're really close. I mean, they're neck and neck right there. Alabama's fifth overall, second in the SEC. You know who's third?
Ohio State?
No, I mean in the SEC.
Oh.
Missouri.
Why?
Missouri is third in the SEC.
That would be so depressed. With the way their program was and how good it was with Pinkel was there, then you had all the stuff that went on campus there, and the whole university came unraveled. I'd be so depressed because you know how good you are. You know what you're capable of, and now you can't get close.
Well, let me explain to you the variables that they used.
All right.
They have seven different inputs, as they call it. Team strength and accomplishment, head coach hot seat rating, recruiting trend, rivalry dominance, revenue growth, Twitter sentiment rating, and in-game panic rating.
What's an in-game panic rating?
I guess by the way fans react during the game on social media. Oh, it says in-game panic rating is factored in season. So that's during this past season of when they panic during games. Sort of looks like. So
no one
yeah, so no one Arkansas lower.
That's
because the panic mode kicked in.
In that particular
quick.
Category, Arkansas was 16th out of 14 schools.
I mean, it kicked in quick when it came to that. So, but Missouri being there, at third was a little surprising because I guess. But if you look at the variables, they're Barry Odom's not on the hot seat.
But, But how could Vanderbilt fans be the most dissatisfied fans?
I haven't been good in a few years.
But they don't care about football there, right?
I mean, they had some success with James Franklin, and I think they kind of said, hey, yeah, our expectations should be higher now.
Our expectations are to go 6-6, yeah.
Yeah. What's that, Kentucky being a 13? I guess the only reason they may be is because Mark Stoops been there for so long.
I mean, like Kentucky and Vanderbilt, I could see Tennessee being
there.
Well,
who would you say is the, and just in your mind, who would you say is the least happiest team in the SEC right now?
I would say Ole Miss. I mean,
see, I would too.
I would, yeah.
And they're down there.
I would, I think, I don't
mind. They're about the party anyways, though.
I don't mind Kentucky and Mandy being lower, but right now, I'd much rather be a Kentucky or Vandy fan than an Ole Miss fan.
And maybe if you're a Florida fan, you feel like there's hope because Dan Mullen's now here and he's going to lead you back. But
boy, they should be down there, too.
Yeah, because
they're eighth.
Florida's results the last few years have not been good.
Yeah.
And we know what Florida's program's capable of.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a place like Mississippi State. They're fourth, actually. But, I mean, they feel great because this season looks like it's going to be great
for
like
them.
Number one. They had a good coaching hire and all that. So, but I thought it was interesting because I don't think you always joke about that fans are never happy.
And they're not.
And I think that you using these variables are always fascinating. But do you agree with Arkansas being 10th, though? Maybe not where who they're above, but would you say they're the 10th happiest SEC fan base right now?
I can agree with that. I think it's more about the trend, though. And the Arkansas trend is going this way, whereas I think there are some that are probably, you know, headed at slightly up. I think the Arkansas trend is going straight up. Fans right now are very, very happy. But if you mix that with how they felt with Brett Bielema or whatever, I can see them being 10.
But how are they happy, though? Are Razorback fans actually happy right
now? I think so.
I think they're indifferent.
I agree more with John.
I don't think they're mad and upset, but I don't think they're happy.
I think there's a lot of fans sitting back with their arms crossed.
Show us something.
Back in their chair. I'll be back when you show me something.
I completely agree there.
And I think ticket sales are reflecting that. I think buzz on the street.
Is that the best way to indicate that? Is it by ticket sales?
Or attendance, at least. I mean, attendance is what got Bielema fired.
Yeah, man. I've never seen Razorback Stadium
attendance,
more
what,
empty.
What do we really expect in a couple of days?
As far as attendance goes?
Mm-hmm. Or 65 plus.
I would say around 65.
I mean, they may call it that. Is that what it's actually going to be?
No. I expect 65 to show up.
Yeah, okay. I do too. Just because the weather's going to be amazing.
Amazing. It's the first game.
People want to see the stadium.
It's Labor Day weekend, so I think people are going to be traveling.
Does that help or hurt? It's Labor Day weekend.
It may actually cancel out. It may cancel out.
Yeah. Still got some great tickets available for $10. Apparently.
Some.
Yeah. On StubHub. But
again,
hold on. Great tickets?
I'm joking.
Oh.
They're not great tickets. Oh. They're nosebleed tickets, but still. Tickets available if you want to go to the game, for sure. So, I think the interest will be there. I think the attendance will show up, too. Now, against North Texas in a couple weeks, you know, you may not see the same type of crowd. But it's just a matter of how does Arkansas perform. And if Arkansas performs, if they go out there and they smoke Eastern Illinois, and then they go to Colorado State and win that game, or, you know, at least look good winning that game, North Texas will probably have a big crowd.
I agree.
And then,
but if you lose one
that,
of those.
Yeah, if you lose one of those, that's where it's going to get tough. So, but yeah, Arkansas, 10th happiest program in the SEC. I just don't know how Missouri's number 3. Is it just maybe because they're always happy about way? They're just like, hey, we got something going on.
You know, like, I wouldn't have thought that they would have done as well as they've done so far in the SEC since joining the SEC.
I wouldn't
put them necessarily at 3, but, and I think this list has a lot to do with, a lot of these programs, like Tommy, Florida, you look at Arkansas, you look at Ole Miss, Vandy, Kentucky, Tennessee. There's just a lot of programs that aren't happy with what's going on right now in football.
That's true. So, just for fun, could you guys think of the least happiest program in all college football? 130 teams, least happiest.
Ooh.
I mean, I doubt you guys get it. The second to least happiest one, I think you all could. If you just think about a big program.
Rutgers?
No, but a Power 5 program that's just awful every single year, and they are always
Kansas?
Illinois.
Kansas is the second to last.
Is Illinois down there?
Yes, they are. They're at 117.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're down there. Rice is actually
Rice.
The un-
Oh, wow.
I would have never thought of Rice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Kent State's down there. UConn. I mean, those teams. Hawaii is at 125. How can you be unhappy when
well,
you're
I've been
in Hawaii?
Having all these hurricanes lately. You're getting feet of rain, you
know? Beat Colorado State. I mean, you're in Hawaii. How can you be unhappy?
Getting feet of rain. Got lava going everywhere. I mean, it's just terrible.
Man, yeah, that must be the tough thing about it, I guess. I don't know. But, no, I thought that was interesting, too. So, and also, just another quick one. Auburn University has reported it's 22 NCAA recruiting violations, and six of
Boom!
Them.
Boom!
Six of them came from the football program.
Boom!
All about Malzahn. Does things the right way, though. Seems like he always has that stuff, too. So, but either way, it's...
He's better off than Bruce Pearl, I guarantee that.
Yeah, man, it seems he's been under investigation since he stepped foot on campus, it seems like. So, yeah, I'm surprised more hasn't happened to him. But that is your SEC update.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Go to the phone lines. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joins us now on the show. Richard, we are 2 days away from the very first game for the Arkansas Razorbacks. How pumped are you right now?
Well, I'm excited just to see what's in store. I mean, we've been hearing and reading about, you know, fall practice, and just want to see the product on the field and see some where they stand. You know, playing somebody else. I think it's exciting, exciting time, and obviously a new coaching staff, new philosophy, and it's going to be interesting because we've been used to a different philosophy for so many years, and it's going to be fun to watch.
You know, it's also exciting because high school football is underway. We've had the week zero games. Week one is here now, and a lot. You know, there's been some games throughout this week. People are focused on football, and I think this week it really kind of will explode because high school football is also back in our state, and I think that really kind of fuels a lot of the excitement. And it started earlier this year, but I don't think the real feel for it is here yet either.
Yeah, they had a good amount of games last week, but it wasn't the full slate, and there's nothing like sitting at home or at a game and listening to hearing other scores of other games around the state and seeing how, you know, some of the preseason picks are doing. And, you know, there's always some surprises and just see some of the prospects, see how they perform also. And also some guys that come out of the woodwork that you really haven't heard that may have been playing behind some other guys for a year or two, and then really flourishes once they get on the field and become possible college prospects, because that does happen occasionally.
So what's the recruiting look like here in the early going of the season? Obviously, there's going to be some visits, there's going to be some talk, there's going to be some guys looking around. Just kind of the overall perspective here in the next few weeks of what recruiting is going to look like for the Razorback football team.
Well, obviously, they'll have some kids on campus on Saturday. I don't expect a big group. Usually try to get guys on campus for bigger games. And kids, if you're driving 5, 6 hours, 7 hours, usually you like to attend games that are a little bit more high profile. But obviously, they'll start focusing on the bigger games, too. But September 1st is when college coaches can reach out to junior prospects via Twitter or Facebook, whatever, what have you, and that communication will start to heat up. They've been able to communicate with them, but they always had to go through the coaches, and the coaches would tell the kids to call the college coaches, and this way that they can communicate with them on Twitter and kind of have a better a relationship or get that relationship going. That's the next big thing. A lot of the juniors are kind of excited about that, but after a while, they'll start to kind of get a little tired of it a little bit. It always happens. But and then the Alabama game is going to be a huge game, obviously, for a recruiting standpoint. They got a large list of kids coming in for that weekend and several official visitors.
What do you think that now that the north end zone is complete, recruits will be able to see the north, you know, the locker room and the completed facilities in the north end zone and the whole package. What do you think that does for Chad Morris and his staff's ability to wow them even more when they get to Fayetteville?
You're exactly right, Tommy. I think it just gives them another wow factor. There's a lot of wow factors with Arkansas right now as far as facilities and just Northwest Arkansas in general. But this just gives them another wow factor. And it's going to be interesting just I know the fans are excited about it, just how the team will come out. And just it's just a different way of doing things. You know, that open end zone obviously was – It was fine. Nothing bad about that. But to have a enclosed stadium and now be able to see the team come out and go through the A, and then also the noise factor. You know, what 2 years ago against Ole Miss, the registered 117 on the decibel, and I just wonder what it's going to be like with the enclosure of the stadium there too. And I think that also is something that kids notice too, because they like to play in loud stadiums. And if you're one of the louder stadiums in the country, that kind of gives you a little bit of a pride if you're a kid that's looking around and trying to see what school is the best fit for you. Not necessarily that's going to be a deciding factor or anything, but it's kind of nice to go to a stadium or a school that is considered one of the toughest places to play, and that Razorback Stadium is that. It doesn't have the reputation of some of the other stadiums, but I think all those things come together and just adds to another wow factor.
I want to ask you a little bit about Justice Hill. Obviously, that's a guy that has been committed to Arkansas for the basketball side of things for quite some time now, but he also plays football and is really good at that sport, it seems like, too. Are there any chances that maybe he decides to go with football? Maybe if the coaching staff is going to offer him a scholarship to play football? I mean, he seems to be able to play both sports, but what are the chances that maybe he decides to go with Chad Morris instead of Mike Anderson?
I don't think that he would do that. I think he's always going to play basketball, but I do think that there's a good chance that he gives football a shot. The thing is, two sport athletes, they're few and far between on the major college level. Not saying that Justice couldn't do it, but if anybody could, it's him. He would be a heck of a DB, maybe a slot receiver. But I think he's very, very tempted to try both, and I think he will. Will he do it all 4 years that he's there? I don't know, but I think that there's a good chance that he will play football.
With Isaac McBride now being offered, and that really throws a kink into the scholarship numbers. How do you see all of that working itself out?
Nolan Richardson was the one that started the numbers will always work themselves out. And, you know, with the new transfer rule where they're really, you know, you even have to have the approval of the school that you're at to get up and leave. I think it's just going to continue to be that way. You're usually going to lose one to two, maybe three guys. Some of these guys that are coming in this year for as freshmen, they're not going to see the court that much, probably as much as they'd want. Do they get up and leave? I mean, the amount of transfers each year has gone up, and I think it's probably going to get worse. I really do. And so I don't, you just continue to recruit and see what happens.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Now, Richard, you're also doing recruiting Thursday tonight from 7 to 8 all across the state. What's coming up on the show?
Got junior college offensive lineman Shaboise Nwana. He's from Lackawanna junior college in Pennsylvania.
He played. Glad you're having to say that.
I practiced that. Believe me, a lot. I'm horrible with names. Troy O'Meara, a 2020 receiver from Texas. He'll be on. Alex Huntley. He's a 2020 defensive lineman from South Carolina. He'll be on. And Chris Moore is most likely going to be on. He's obviously the forward from West Memphis. He's visiting Arkansas, and he's making an official visit to Arkansas this weekend.
All right, give me that first name again.
Sheboygan, Nawana.
Oh, Chuck Barrett's worst nightmare right there. Holy smokes.
Hey, if I can say it, anybody can say it.
That's right. Richard Davenport, the Arkansas Democrat. He's like, great stuff, Richard. Enjoy this weekend. Looking forward to catching up with you next week, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.